This is Cross Currents from KALW News. I'm Holly Kernan. Last week in North Carolina, First Lady Michelle Obama spoke at a memorial service for poet Maya Angelou.
She showed us that eventually, if we stay true to who we are, then the world would embrace us. And she did this not just for black women, but for all women, for all human beings. She taught us all that it is okay to be your regular old self, whatever that is, your poor self, your broken self, your brilliant, bold, phenomenal self.
Her speech was a reminder of the struggles that many women have faced in order to achieve their goals. It was also a reminder that not too long ago, this country was a very different place, especially for women. Education has always played a key role in social change, but it hasn't always been equally available to both men and women. In the late 1800s, less than 1% of college-age women accessed higher education. But a small group of that elite crowd created what became known as the American Association of University Women, or the AAUW. The San Francisco chapter is the oldest branch in California and the third oldest in the country. Here to tell us more about this group's history and the role it played for women in California is former AAUW director Kathleen Chaw.
It started in 1881 two people's living room, and they invited 16 women who didn't know each other, and their commonality was they were unique. They were graduates of universities and actually going into higher education as well. When they got together, they realized what were the needs, what was important about this, and it was not just that they had education, but they needed to make sure others had access. And then the question that began to bubble then was, what was their responsibility? They had an education, what did it mean? From that early beginning, you had 16, within a year you had 60, and then even more. And out of that first group was one young woman called Sarah Dix Hamlin. And she had incredible degrees, of not only overseas, but here. And as they were discussing what we would do next, they began to realize it's not just this group. We need to have different chapters or branches, as we call them. And so she was on her way west to San Francisco, and they asked her to take on that and begin to set up. And so she came to San Francisco very shortly, had 8, 16, 32, not even within a year, to show you the talent and leadership that was there ready to, in a sense, take San Francisco by a storm.
And how was a university-educated woman perceived in that time?
In that time, besides anomaly, most of them were in classes where they never saw another woman. What was going on out of Harvard, a number of professors were saying, you know, higher education is injurious to women. It will give them brain fever, make them unable to have children, and other weaknesses. And so one of our early members, this Dr. Anne Howe, and there's a picture of her, and she looks like just this sweet little old lady. She is not. I think we've said she's kind of like a pit bull. She worked with the Massachusetts Bureau of Statistics and Labor, created the first study, and very conclusively proved that education did not injure women and showed the benefits of. Now, doesn't sound like much, but it had waves like you could not believe throughout, and really put to end what the professor, who was a leading scholar at the time, education scholar, and kind of, as we say, made him a little more red-faced about what he was doing. And so there was a lot of trepidation around women with university degrees. What were they going to do, and what was their value? And remember that we're talking about women that didn't even have the right to vote yet and what they were doing. And many of these, the women I talked about in San Francisco or that I've referred to in San Francisco, were all behind that early time that California in 1911 got the right to vote.
And what kind of priorities did they have? What were they advocating for?
So they got together like the other group and they took a look around at their community. And San Francisco at that time had a lot of issues. the whole issues of, they saw the issues of maternal care, infant mortality. They saw the issues of education, what was going on in the schools, even access for girls into regular schools, much less college degrees. They really were about social justice and equity. And they began to define them, the whole issue of baby's milk or pediatric care. They set up the first settlement house. They went on to do some of the first studies in housing. They worked with the housing group at that time. They set up the first playground in San Francisco. It's kind of like a laundry list of first things. They were not ones to say, oh, we have problems. They went out and found solutions because they had early doctors, early teachers, as well as lawyers and what have you. They were catalysts for change.
That's Kathleen Cha. She is a leader of the American Association of University Women, and she just completed 6 years as director of the National Board. And we're talking about women in higher education more than 100 years ago, back when the American Association of University Women was created in 1881. One of these women, these early pioneers of the American Association of University Women, created the Hamlin School for Girls.
Yes.
Which we'll hear about in another piece later on in the show. And one became president of Mills College over in Oakland.
Yes, we're talking about Dr. Aurelia Henry Reinhart, who was an early leader for the San Francisco branch. But at the same time, she was Mills College president. But she went on, because of her leadership for AAUW in 1921, is when we brought together all of these other collegiate alumni groups and whatever, we'd all been operating in many different ways, brought them together under one umbrella, the AAUW, American Association of University Women.
So today, women make up the majority on college campuses. How do you see that fact in the light of this history of activism, and what is the value of the American Association of University Women today?
Well, you have to remember, we've always had a twofold kind of mission. It's not just that we are looking to get for women total full access, although access right now is still very, very difficult. You say many women are there, but then you ask, so they graduate, are they graduating to equal pay? Are they graduating to fair pay? Are they graduating to work conditions that will, you know, in a sense, make the best workforce possible? Equal pay, the harassment are all still critical issues. We're not only about access to education and quality of education for women and girls, but also you have a responsibility. All right, you have that education. How are you serving your community? What are you doing in your community to make it a better place to
live? And that really seems to get at these progressive roots that you're talking about, the history, this deep sort of social justice legacy.
We have as our tagline, empowering women since 1881. And that is what it's all about. It's making sure that women and girls have an understanding of their full range of choices and being able to develop their skills in the best way, not only for the community, for their family, and in the workplace.